Father, thank you for the clarity of this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your heart to reveal yourself to us this morning. Lord, we come in stillness now. We come with our eyes upon you. Lord, we thank you that it pleases you to have us gathered in the light of your glory and grace this morning. Lord, we thank you that we have in Christ utter truth, that he is the way for us this morning. He is the life for us this morning. He is the truth. And this word that you have revealed to us is no less than Christ himself, the living word. So, Lord, we just know that you are good this morning. We pray that you would engineer in us a spirit of revelation, that we would never be the same for having sat before you. So, Lord, just may it all be to your glory. Lead on, O Holy Ghost. Lead on. And we will follow you and give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have a little unfinished business from session 21. And that is verse 12. And let's just deal with verse 12, and, briefly. Not a big verse, but it's an important verse. Someone read that for me, for us. James 5, verse 12.
Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned.
Okay. So my question for you there is, why do people swear upon something or someone? What is the motive there?
I think there's a presumption that I might not be believed in myself.
Okay.
And whether or not that's true or not, but I presume that there may be people who won't believe me. So I need to have this additional verification, validation, confirmation that this is really true.
Okay. So, what's...
They want to be approved by higher authority.
They're looking for approval from a higher authority, but what in the heart of this person? What's the point of that? What are they seeking to accomplish? There's something kind of wafting around behind all this that I think is important to put the finger on.
I must be so vile, because what the first thing I thought of is not swearing like that, but using God's name in vain, kind of swear. Oh. So that's what Miss Rosie's on my case all the time, because I say, oh, my God.
It's me-centered, right? It's like I want to be taken seriously, and I want to be right, and I want it, whatever I'm saying to fly or to be taken seriously. I want my way.
Mm-hmm. So what is that? That's exactly right.
Centeredness.
Wow.
It is
absorption.
I think people are trying to establish that they have integrity, that they're honest, that they're trustworthy, and that basically you can take me at my word.
And it's the truth.
So that all sounds good. Why is he saying we shouldn't swear on anything? I agree. I mean, people want that.
Because if we swear on something else, we're putting them in a position of saying, they will do that. They will honor what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying God's going to do what I say.
Yes, this is it.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
What was the word?
Perspicacity.
No,
manipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's manipulation. Oh. That's what I think.
So the big question is then, when you go to court and you're called to be a witness and you're brought before the judge and the jury, okay, and they bring the Bible out, what do you do? Because I've heard a lot of
people. That's interesting.
Very, very good Christians have a lot of problem with that.
Wow. I never thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, except what the words that we say there, and I don't actually have a problem with that. The words that we say is, by God's help, I'm going to tell the truth as I understand it.
I don't
so
have a
help
with
me God. Himself. Help me God.
Yeah. Oh, there but you I, go.
You know, yeah. Help me God.
So I'm, help
I'm,
me.
What God. I saw, what I heard, this is what I'm giving witness to. So help me God, it will be the truth as I experienced it. You're promising not to lie. I don't think that that's a bad thing.
I don't have a problem either with it, John. There are some people that, you know, in my discussions over the last 30 years do have a big problem with
that. I've heard it too, but I guess people have to be like that and all of that. I think it's fascinating to me that in our court system, what we're saying is people need God's help to be
honest.
And it's holding them to the higher standard.
And
in addition to a criminal thing, if you perjure or lie, then you're going to face criminal things. But it's encouraging people to recognize that they're bearing witness in an action that has consequences. And it's only with God's, you want to have God's help to be totally honest.
I'm actually surprised that they're still
doing it,
letting us, say, so help me God, with the way things are.
Yeah, whereas the ACLU or whatever it is going to take that out, Can't swear on the
line. You're still in control. Even if
the scripture said it's, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And so it's like, is it Caesar?
Yes,
I thought I had the wrong
Caesar.
Name.
Yeah.
Is that, this is a, this is a pattern of our government, and it's not, so you go with that. You honor.
Yeah. You submit to the authority.
You submit to the authority, right.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't make an issue about things like that.
Yeah.
I don't think.
You obey God, submit to the authority, and there's always the tension.
Right.
But I mean, here's a submit to the authority.
Right.
God's place to
us. All right. So what does James advise in the positive? He's telling us not what to not do, but what is he saying do? And why?
I mean, your life should be truth. I mean, that's reflected from God, really. That's the absolute truth. And tell it like it is, no matter what. Even if it hurts us, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, truth. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to stand on our head to justify ourselves when it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm. He is the truth. You don't have to add to that. There is nothing you could add to that. Mm. So you don't have to manipulate anybody in trying to convince them of your integrity.
But where is it in the Bible that says your yea be yea and your nay be nay, not to be tossed about like the waves?
Right. Well, I think that's what he's saying, is that you don't have to stand on your head. You just be who you are. And you say the truth. I just heard this thing about that, we are to be peaceful. We are to apply God's peace to our life by letting our yes be yes and our no be no. I mean, that would be one example. And so when you do that, there's just a peace that comes across. And so you're like, they use the analogy of a lake. The lake isn't all churned up like, how am I going to make them believe this, or how am I going to make this happen? But you just trust that God is going to work it out, and you just do your part, which is let your yes be yes and your no be no. And then that lake will be just really calm, and then that calm lake can reflect the sun.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
That
it was from
beautiful.
David Jeremiah's Captured by Grace book.
Really?
So
That's very nice.
Wow, yeah.
Michelle, I think you were sort of mixing in James 1, 6. But let him ask in faith, no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. But yeah, I mean, you're doubting your own authority in Christ, so you're going to go call upon, swear on something.
They're doing it with swearing.
Yeah, your point is well taken.
Sometimes I'm indecisive, and it's upsetting to me because I think about that. Mm-hmm. Especially on certain political issues. Mm-hmm. So,
don't you think that's all of us, that we're indecisive on things, and then we just trust God that He's going to bring us to the right place?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't have all the answers like on political things.
Mm-hmm. Can't go there. Can't go there.
No, but you know what I'm saying?
No, but like with homosexuality and stuff like that, being in medicine, we know certain things. People are born sometimes certain ways and whatever. So it's very, some things are very, very confusing, and you're right. You just need to, to just trust God.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, bring it before Him and trust Him, and He'll lead you through it.
It's fascinating. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. I mean, basically, this we're responding to something. Someone is asking us to do something or be someone or whatever, and we are going to do it or we aren't. And ideally, we're being led by the Holy Spirit. But it's a simple yes or no, period, end of sentence, resting that, you know, the Holy Spirit has informed us in that answer, whatever that answer is. Yeah. You know, yes, I can help you here. No, I cannot help you here.
Yeah.
Yes, I can agree with that. No, I cannot agree with that.
Yeah.
Simple yes or no.
Yeah. Wow.
And we don't defend God. We don't have to defend God. You know, we just need to be led by the Spirit. That's the minute-by-minute hope and prayer. But it's the simplicity of yes or no.
Okay.
Moment by moment.
Good. The promise of the lips of one in Christ stands without the need for worldly supports. Just
say that again.
I'm looking where it is.
The promise from the lips of one in Christ stands without the need for worldly supports. You just don't need anything more than Christ. So you don't have to manipulate people. Oh, gosh. Manipulation is...
And a good thought is, you know, Jesus before Pilate, he just opened out his mouth.
God.
I mean...
Yeah.
And Pilate asked, what is the truth?
Yeah.
I'm right before you.
Okay, so let's go to session 22 then. And this is James now going to continue on with just two verses. And that's verses 13 and 14. So in the last session... along with what we just spoke of. In the last session, we considered how grumbling against one another is really rebellion against the absolute sovereignty of God, who is proximate to every situation we face. I mean, that verse, you know, do not grumble, brethren, against one another that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the doors. And that's such an image. Mm-hmm. So... we really have to be careful. Discernment of an issue in another, and, you know, we see things, the things are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit in another's walk. I mean, we can't help that. And discernment of an issue in another should always lead us to pray. We go in prayer. We do not go in judgment. And this is a big issue in the church. And, you know, we are being called to be united in Christ's love, as Michael preached so powerfully last week. You know, going forward, this is going to be absolutely fundamental for us to be honoring God and building this church. You know, these sessions are huge. The messages are huge right now. They are major. Mm-hmm. And it's very exciting to see the Holy Spirit bring, you know, this understanding into our fellowship.
Yeah.
The unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace is really going to be huge. So, discernment of an issue in another should always lead us to pray and not judge. And it's not easy sometimes. In fact, that's
it's really
never easy. The patient suffering that is involved in persevering in Christ in a difficult situation with another person, in parenthesis, purifies us in Christ as he is pure. And we see Satan's activity in our lives, these afflictions that we have, as a mere tool in the hand of God to bring forth our sanctification. Now, all these situations, they're allowed into our lives, and it's like a scalpel. There is stuff that's being cut away from us that keeps us from being more like Christ.
Yeah, we're not a victim.
We're not.
Nope.
We're never. I mean, the whole thing says, you know, look at Job. You know, he brings forth Job. Well, gosh, behind the scenes, thank God for that book.
Yeah.
Because you see Satan parading around, blah, 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 and I'm going to... And in the end, he is a tool. And, you know, again, Psalm 2, the Lord has Satan in derision. He laughs at Satan's thinking that he's accomplishing anything. You know, the Lord has him in derision. I never and said this. I never laugh at Satan. I tremble at God's feet. That's what I do. I'll let the Lord do the laughing. I'm trembling because it's scary. Mm-hmm. Spiritual warfare is frightening. Mm-hmm. But with Christ in full view, he'll do the laughing and win the victory, and I'll just follow along.
Right.
I don't have to...
Do you see the picture in the ministry house of Jesus laughing?
Yeah, I just, that's a great...
I just love that picture. People say I don't have images, but it just sets you right.
Mm-hmm.
When if you're in fear or nervousness or anxiety or anything, you just go, the Lord's got this, and he wants me to trust and be joyful. Yeah. It just turns you...
That's good. The Lord's got this.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's just read these two verses then. 13... and 14 of James 5. And this is kind of a tale of three invitations. Let's just use that as a headliner here. Somebody read that for me.
Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord.
Okay. So, what is the significance, first of all, is anyone among you suffering or cheerful or sick?
Mine says, if anyone among you afflicted, in parentheses, ill-treated, suffering, evil.
Oh, wow. Good.
Again, it goes without saying.
This letter is what?
To the believers.
It's to the church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think it goes without saying that there is going to be suffering around us. And so don't be surprised at the fiery trial that comes upon you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also, is like when one suffers, we all suffer. Mm-hmm. We should be in that kind of a community where we're aware.
Good.
Of others suffering. Yeah. And
bear one another's burdens,
and
so
be
fulfill.
Praying.
That's great.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can look at this as a command, but look at it as an invitation. I think there's something. Let him, you know, let him come. You know, just picture Jesus with his arms open, ready to embrace you. You know, come unto me with this suffering issue. Come unto me in your moment of difficulty. And I just I don't know. I just feel like, you know, remember, it's this suffering is like Michelle said, it's being at the receiving end of something unpleasant. Okay. It could be any number of things. It could be a situation in your life, it could be pain in your back, it could be, you know, a relationship that's, you know, messed up. And this, it's beautiful what Jesus says. Just come unto me with this. You know, let him pray. Allow, you know. We're allowed to pray. I mean, can you go with that? What would prevent us? And what do we have in Christ?
I think what would prevent us is if we're judging.
Boy. Good for you.
Yeah, if we judge somebody, we forget to pray for them.
Yeah.
It's almost like going, well, they deserve it.
They deserve
it. Yeah. Ooh, can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else would get in the way of receiving this invitation? Even in your own
sense of unworthiness, you know. That word suffer does actually mean allow. You know, I love when Jesus says, suffer the little children to come under me. It means allow things to happen. But if I somehow feel, you know, God can't, underneath that is some pride. I'm beyond God's reach.
Yeah.
I'm too bad, all of those things. Or I've gone too far.
Yeah.
But that unworthiness can keep us from either asking for prayer or even entering into praying for someone else.
Yeah.
My prayers won't count.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
I also think if anyone among you that says afflicted, a lot of people are embarrassed because they're supposed to be Christians. And they don't want other people to know their business, I think.
Hmm.
No?
And willingness to be transparent.
Yeah, and a willingness to be transparent, because I find most of Fairfield County puts up a facade. Everything looks really good on the outside, but on the inside it's really bad.
Hmm. I think that's Satan's, you know, first target is when you become a Christian and, you know, you're all real close with everybody, and then and you're real vulnerable, and then he kind of comes in with some legalism and grabs hold of people so that they feel, you know, unworthy to be in the fellowship, because, you know, they're continuing to sin, and they're not realizing, you know, I am a sinner, and I do have problems, but I'm supposed to be more than a conqueror.
Right.
Things all get twisted around until you work your way through that, because you burn out.
Mm-hmm. Boy,
really, don't you?
Well, you're living under false pretenses. Spirit, yeah, you don't.
When it's still all out of yourself,
yeah.
Then you do. You flame out. You know?
So it's a sort of.
But underneath that, here's where Satan comes at you. You call yourself a Christian?
Yeah.
Look what you just thought. Look what you just said, and you call yourself a Christian? Really? You know, that's his attack. That's the accusation.
It's an awful thing.
And it's an awful thing.
Yeah. So we have to be aware of that with people, that if anybody is doing that, you know, you have to be able to get alongside them and ask the right questions so that the shame is released. You know.
Walking in our neighborhood and met the caretaker of one of the estates, and he said, come walk, you can walk on the grounds, become friendly with them. And so the front of the house is so magnificent. It was in one of the magazines, and it's, but then when I went in the back of the house, I don't know, so it was like nothing. It was terrible. And the Lord said to me, the facade is in the front, and in the back where everything is hidden, they're falling apart.
The Lord gave you that.
You've
got a visual forever. You know, you'll always remember that.
So, you know, we don't know about everybody's life. Everything looks really good, but doesn't mean it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Excellent. So, I mean, you know, we have freedom to pray. We have freedom to really, really pray. Unbelief, doubt, preconceived ideas that we have on people, oh my gosh. How much do I suffer at the hands of preconceived ideas? That's one of my biggest struggles. Like with patients, you know, I'll see somebody's name and I'm going like, oh, I can't possibly get through this one. Not today, Lord. You know, I mean, it's just terrible. And then, you know, I go in and God just blows everything.
He's good like that.
Ah, he laughs. He said, you just wait. Just shut up and listen to me.
Yeah.
You know.
He's told me a couple times to shut up as well.
Me too.
You know, that little fallen mind is twisting and squirming like a serpent. And it, you know, Jesus just stomps on it and says, be still. Just listen. I have much to do here. So just shut up.
Yeah.
So all of these things can handcuff you from praying, from really, really praying. And this, I mean, I'm opening it. Well, John 8, 31 and 34, these are verses that...
Yeah, but that's reality. That's the truth, what you just said.
Yeah.
Our preconceived ideas keep us from so much.
Yes, yeah, yeah. But thank God, morning, noon, and night for these two verses in John 8. Somebody read those, 31 and 34.
The Jews who had believed in them, Jesus said, if you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples.
And 32, I'm sorry, I missed 31, 32, 34.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin.
Yeah.
And then, gosh, I really messed this up. Go on to 36.
No, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed.
There you go. Yeah, I just think that's monumental.
It's a wonderful Bible used in prison ministry, the title Free on the Inside. Oh. Free on the inside and free on the inside of the walls, but you can You're be free wherever you are in Christ. Yeah.
So we just don't need to be.
And those preconceived ideas enslave us.
Yeah. I mean, they're sin. Duh. They're just sin.
Well, we don't know they're sin.
No, it's very sort of surreptitious. It's kind of creeping around, you know, to throw us off the track. All right, very... So with that background of the freedom that we have in Christ, you know, what is prayer? I couldn't... This is going to lead us way into the wilderness, but hopefully... What is prayer? Just... And this is wide open, obviously, but what is prayer? What is it really, really consistent?
He's beaming over there.
Well, no, I'm just, it's coming into God's presence. Not so much to talk to him, because he already knows, but it is. I will name what I understand as whatever's happening.
Good.
And offer it to him, and then listen, hopefully listen for his answer and his guidance. And
good. Prayer surrender. Yeah. Isn't prayer surrender?
Yes, it is.
It takes, you know, first step.
Because it says you must, if you don't ask, you won't receive. And in Genesis, he spoke it before it came into being. So if you need to speak everything to him. Even though he might know it, he still expects us, I think, to speak it.
Gosh.
It's relationship. Yeah. Right, it's real relationship. Like there, you know, nothing comes without relationship.
Yeah,
there's, you know, there's like nothing comes without with the void. You have to be in relationship. But it is. It's like an invitation to come and just let it all out and trust that you're loved and that he's got the answer. And it's also just knowing deep in your heart. You may think you're right. You know, I love this about the Lord. It's like, because, you know, we walk around thinking we're right all the time about the things we think. So you come in and you go, you know, show me where I'm not right. You know, like, purify my heart, Lord. Show me, examine me. And he does.
Yeah.
He absolutely does. He just, I mean, maybe not that moment, but as you walk out into the world, he orchestrates a situation or a circumstance where you realize you were dead wrong or you were off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the surrender part,
isn't
it?
Yeah, and that's you surrender. You surrender that you don't know it all, that he knows it all, and you don't. And you trust he's going to love you through it and show you the truth.
I know with our own son, we think, you know, Gary and I, of course, we think our ways, our lifestyle is right. But God has shown me completely that Gary and I are off balance, and he's more balanced than we are. Like, we're workaholics, and he's more carefree. And, I mean, things that we don't even think about, you know? So
he brings,
we were just talking about that in the car this morning.
Yeah, the drive here.
Yeah, that God is sending us, is sending him home for a short time, for to be re-educated, but for him also to re-educate us, I wrote that. I'm like, okay.
That's so beautiful.
That's a perfect example.
That is a perfect example.
Yeah.
No preconceived ideas.
I'm quite sure I'm up for the challenge.
Yeah, but you're going to be set free. That's what's going to happen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're already set free. You brought it up.
You know, and as you're obedient in that, guess what? God's hands are not limited in what he can accomplish in your son's life through you as you surrender to the situation with an open hand. That's beautiful. That's so excellent.
Yeah.
You know. Anybody else? I mean, this is you guys just nailed it immediately. It's an intimate prayer, is an intimate conversation that affirms real faith in the sovereign God of the universe, the architect of all our realities and the architect of our immediate situations. This situation that you are in, it has been allowed by the hand of the sovereign God. And in relationship, we can converse with him about it. We can bring it to him. We can say, Lord, this is killing me here. Please, I need to hear from you. I need to seek your face. I'm on my knees before you. Oh my gosh, how much does he love when we are in that position? He is saying, come unto me, all you are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I am gentle. Get into my yoke. And you will make it, because I am with you in it. And we will walk through this situation under the glory of God. I mean, what an invitation this is. And the second is surrender. You know, I give this suffering situation to you, Lord, and then I wait in hopeful trust for your answer. You know, I repent of my own devices to conjure up an answer. I just repent of all my wild thinking and trying to manipulate situations.
I mean, that's a good way to put it, because it sure is wild.
It's just like...
I'm actually writing that down. Wild thinking.
I am too, because that's a perfect definition of where I go.
That's so, why we have to cast down all imagination every
day. Right.
And bring into captivity every evil thought.
Yeah,
bring it. You don't even know they're bad.
I know.
Gosh.
Sometimes I think, is everybody as crazy as me?
Yeah.
How does he... It's crazy.
So, a lot of them are crazier.
Huh?
A lot of them are crazy.
Yeah, no, I have run into some.
All right, so now, so keep those two in mind. Intimate conversation, relationship, and surrender, because those are really... And we looked at this a little last week, but now the actual act of praying involves two things. All right, in a spiritual sense. And these kind of are the foundation for having what we just spoke of really happen. What do you have to do to pray in earnest to the living God?
You have to believe.
You have to believe and turn.
You have to believe and turn. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, remember last week we finished with this little thing, TSP.
Yes.
Taconic State Parkway? It's totally biblical. No.
I know the Taconic State Parkway.
I know.
TSP is also a cleaner. Before you paint your walls.
What else does it mean?
I would have known that too. I love TSP.
Yeah.
Look at glue. This is what Kara brought to prayer.
Fire away.
Proverbs 1:23. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. And so, because I have called you and you refuse, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. But anyways, her whole takeaway was it, the Lord had showed this to her and she was going, he's asking me to turn to him because he wants to bless me. And I don't want to turn because I think he's going to go... And she goes, that's not what he's saying. He's saying he's going to pour out his spirit on me if I will turn to him.
Amen.
And, you know, so the rebuke is something in the world. We never want to be rebuked. But when the Lord gives you a rebuke, it's because he's pouring out his blessing on you.
Mm.
And then she had another one in verse 4. I was like, wow. Well, I can't find it in 4. But it's all about turning.
Yeah, it is. Turning. It's more than... And this is, Ryan preached a sermon years ago, 2-3 years ago. It's an awesome sermon. And what he did, he says, we can turn away from sin. But if you leave it there, you have no power. You're going to fall flat on your face again. So you turn unto, you turn away from, and you turn unto God. You behold him in the face of Christ. There's glory and grace and such power. So you turn away from sin. You turn toward God. And in that loving embrace that he has for you, you surrender. I mean, that's the S, T-S-P. You can't help it. You turn. And you're turning unto And you, the power of the Lord is so mighty in the glory of his face. And
turn, surrender, power.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it means.
Yeah. That's the TSP.
Guys, excuse the interruption, but I'm bursting at the seams here.
Please,
I just have to share this, but...
Oh, go ahead.
I had a very good doctor's report this week.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, with my local urologist, maybe you know him, Dr. Jerome Roth.
Yes, I know him very well.
So this was the first PSA test or hypersensitive PSA test I had after the prostate was removed. And he told me the number was very good, and I don't have to do another one for another 3 months. So, Father God, I just gave you all the praise,
thank you, Lord,
for bringing me through this.
But the enemy tried to make us believe, because we went to the surgeon, and what did the surgeon say? You need radiation, you need radiation.
He said,
He's been pushing.
You should consider radiation, so.
But you've been standing on God's promise.
Yeah, the number is fine. I've been doing a lot of research, the numbers. He's just very aggressive, the surgeons.
Well, that Dr. Roth is saying you need radiation?
No. The surgeon, Dr. Wagner.
Okay, he might
But he's been saying it all
hospital.
Along.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jesus, for Dr. Roth.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you for that, Gary.
Yeah, but you did That's your great. Own research, too.
I did.
We did our own research, too. So, but anyway, we interrupted
everything. It was a good report.
It's wonderful.
That's standing on God's
That's a word. Great interruption.
I think it's just that. Wow.
All right. So now, if we have this understanding about turning away from and turning unto, these three verses are really the engine of prayer. These three. I mean, there's tons of verses in Scripture. These three just came because, again, when you are beholding the face of God, all kinds of awesome things happen. And the impact of prayer in this situation is a powerful impact. So somebody read 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. I think we go to these verses about every month. But they're just...
I'm going to read Amplified.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
But whenever a person turns in repentance to the Lord, the veil is stripped off and taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, and freedom.
Gosh.
And all of us, as with unveiled faces, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in every increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Wow.
Wow.
What a gorgeous translation that is. Wow. So, yeah.
It's taken away.
Just beholding the... Prayer is beholding that glory. It's nothing less than that. It's beholding the fullness of God and all of His attributes shining down on your situation. Oh, my. How are you going to emerge from that prayer not different, having beheld the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus?
So the reason we don't turn is the flesh.
Yeah.
We can't give up control.
Yeah.
Control.
Exactly.
And then God puts us in a situation, I think, lots of times... I'm not even realizing that it's God that's the enemy for us to give, where we have no control, I think, anyway.
Yeah, I believe that, too.
Yeah.
He's done that to me over and over again.
He's the great engineer of our salvation. He knows. We don't know how to grow again in the next step. We have no idea.
No.
So...
But so freeing to know that you don't...
That you...
You don't know and you don't have to figure it out.
Yeah.
That you have this lover of your soul that's going to lead you by the hand.
Yeah.
It sounds so fantastical, but it's so true.
It's just, you know. So right on the heels of that, then, this 2 Corinthians 4, 6, somebody drop down and read that for us.
The God who said, "Let shine, light shine out of the darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ.
Yeah. So that's really such a comfort.
I don't know who said this, but one of the preachers here in this pulpit said the blind man is the luckiest of men.
Oh,
wow. And I thought of Helen Keller said that she wished that, she said it would be so wonderful if every person, you know, like around their 30s, was given the gift of being blind for 3 or 4 days, and then after that given the gift of being deaf for 3 or 4 days. And then we would truly become grateful people because of having sight in our ears.
Yeah.
You know, never mind all the other millions of things we could be grateful for. But that alone would
make the man born blind
is the luckiest of men.
Because what was the first thing that he saw?
Jesus.
The face of Christ.
Oh,
wow.
That's what it was.
Wow.
I'll tell you. Imagine that. The first thing that you see is the face of Christ Jesus, the fullness of God. I mean, so, yeah, prayer is mighty. Oh, my gosh, just get to the place where you understand prayer for what God has designed it to be. Intimate relationship, invitation, beholding, transformation, the glory, the face of Christ. Oh, heavens. As we grow in our prayer life, as Michael has been preaching for 20 years, we will be unstoppable. We'll just be unstoppable. Because God is unstoppable. You cannot stop what God has put in place. It's going down the track. And so you know, this is why, you know, we one more verse. The last part of the engine.
Philippians?
Yeah, 4:6. And this is more of an application of what we've spoken about. Somebody read that. Very, very familiar, but mighty. Philippians 4:6.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
And go on with 7.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Yeah. So, you know, when we allow Christ to displace anxiety and suffering in our hearts, there you're going to count it all joy. I mean, you know, some of the things that James says at first blush, they're impossible. I mean, count it all joy when you suffer. I mean, you know, when you meet various trials. You know, I mean, in the flesh, you look at that and you just weep. I said, I'm sorry, I can't. But you've got to go in prayer and understand the wonder of Christ's power and see that your sanctification is really, really going down the track, that God is really doing the work that he promised to do. And then you will count it all joy because you know your salvation is real. And at the day of Christ, you're going to be complete in him. And it's all going to be to the glory of God. So, you know, keep these 3 verses, you know, in mind when you pray.
I'm going to read Amplified.
Please.
I'll do 6 first and then 7. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer or petition, definite request with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Wow.
Being content is a huge thing. Being content where where you are, and only Jesus can give you that.
But I liked, and so fearing nothing from God.
There is no condemnation mm-hmm. for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, well, I didn't think we'd get through with this, and we didn't. So, well, we have to. And who knows? You know, maybe. Well, next week we'll just see. Maybe we'll have three more sessions. I don't know.
I was just going to say.
I'm glad
we've got time.
We have this open-ending journey.
What book are we doing next after James?
I have no idea. John Oswald is going to lead us.
We're going to be studying a book by R.T. Kendall called Total Forgiveness.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be our summer study.
I just listened to something that he did. He's taken over John Paul Jackson's site, and so he has a lot of stuff on it. Wow. And I wanted to read his book on Elijah, and I haven't gotten to the bookstore.
Was he the speaker at Walnut Hill?
Yes, we saw him.
You saw him?
Yes, we met.
I could have. I didn't know who he was, believe it or not.
He's fantastic.
About 3 years ago, I could have heard him.
Yeah.
And I didn't go because I was busy doing the Sunday school on Saturday morning. I got to do that. I wept when I heard.
I think every time he's in Connecticut, he goes to Enfield to where Jonathan Edwards gave his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and prays for revival in this part of the world.
Yeah. You should go to John Paul Jackson's site.
Okay.
Jackson. And he has a couple of videos there. They're very, very, very good.
Wow.
So that I think we're going to be starting this Sunday after Memorial Day, June 5th, because we need to get this. Well, you guys got a preview. But with everything else happening, I didn't want to bring this up until after our meeting next week, but probably May 8th. But we need to order the books.
And we're not going to be. Will we be done? We won't be done with.
We will be done, I think, Jeff.
With James.
With James, we were scheduled for May 8th, which would have given us a couple of weeks. Now it may be May 15th. If we extend this, but based on our original calendar, we done May 8th and now maybe May 15th. So anyway, we're looking at June 5th for.
That's plenty of time.
Yeah, right. That's plenty of time.
After Memorial.
I'm thinking, you're saying June, and I'm thinking May. I'm like,
June 5th.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of time to take a summer vacation.
I just heard his book on Elijah is fantastic.
We've been reading Holy Fire, his book on the Holy Spirit, which is just
which I was reading on the train last night at midnight, and it was blessing my socks off. Mm-hmm. We were in the city yesterday. I was telling Nancy, I'm reading Holy Fire, and everybody's asleep.
Isn't it great?
I'm just going.
I'm gonna have to get that one.
Oh yeah.
Get to the bookstore.
Yeah, you need.
I gotta stop ordering books.
We have one right in Wilton. Washington.
I ordered two more books yesterday.
Do you just order online? I don't really order online. I like to support local people, so.
I don't know. I order online, and I'm giving them away all the time. But, yes.
Somebody close us. I'm so grateful.
Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks and praise for the blessings of this day. We thank you especially this morning for the good news that Gary has shared with us. What a joy to know that his healing is happening, has happened, and just continue to lift him into your loving care. We're thankful so much that you have called us to be church together in your body active in this world. I just read something about the church is the only social organization designed for the benefit of non-members. So help us remember that you have gifted us, empowered us to reach out into the world for people who do not know you yet. We thank you for Jeff's teaching and all of the work he's done in preparing these courses and guiding us through this wonderful book of James and all that James has to teach us, all you have to teach us through his writing. So be with us now. We lift this time of worship into your loving care. We pray for Pastor Michael and the music team and just as we come together as family today, we pray for our time of praise and worship together. We lift all of this into your care. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.